Okay, our next presentation this morning will be from Miriam Gutierrez from Kansas State University on the evaluation of zinc fertilization for the main crops in Kansas using new and historic data.
Good morning, faculty, judges, and colleagues. In order to give a step forward, it is imperative to know the background. This presentation utilizes historic and new data to evaluate zinc fertilization on the main crops of Kansas. Zinc is one of the micronutrients essential for plant growth. It is involved in enzymatic activities, in the synthesis of components of proteins, and in the production of indoleic acid, which is needed for the plant growth hormone auxin. Nowadays, zinc deficiencies are increasing worldwide. It has been estimated that nearly half of the world's soil cultivated are affected by low zinc available for plants. A recent study revealed that 75% of approximately 2,000 samples collected in Kansas were below 1 milligram per kilogram of the DTPA equivalent zinc. These values are known as marginal or deficient. Now, let's take a look at our neighboring states. And as you may see, Kansas is the one with the highest percent of deficiency. So, as we interact with producers, frequent questions about commercially available micronutrient fertilizers emerge, and mostly zinc questions, if they have a potential to increase the yields. So as an attempt to answer those, this presentation is divided in two components: the historic review of zinc fertilization for Kansas main crops, and the findings of these led to the second component, which is a field experiment. So let's start with the first component, zinc in Kansas since 1960. The objective of this was to review and analyze historic data from published papers involving zinc fertilization for the main crops in Kansas, which are corn, sorghum, wheat, and soybean. The main idea of these, the initial idea, was to do it with all the micronutrients, but there was not enough data, so we decided to keep just with zinc because it was the only one that had enough data. The theses, articles, and papers were taken from the source, from these sources: the Kansas Fertilizer Research Reports, the Access Digital Library from ASA, CSA, and SSSA, and the Kansas State Research Exchange. The criteria of selection was to gather the means of the individually applied zinc and their respective controls. Most of the papers were about zinc sources and rates. And when looking for soil chemical analysis, there was a lack of consistency through the papers, and the only constant variable was yield through all the observations. So we gathered all the information and entered it into a database. This database was later analyzed using the SAS with the PROC GLIMIX, and we assumed that sites were random. Now, here are the results. The hypothesis for this was that we would expect that at least corn and sorghum would have a positive response, as they are, as literature cites them, as the most, some of the most responsive crops in comparison to wheat and soybean, which are less likely to respond. So here is the result for corn. In your y-axis, you will find the yield scale. In the x-axis, the treatments. There was a total of 422 observations in a total of 18 sites. And as you can see, there was a significant increase over the unfertilized plots. The results for sorghum. There were 136 in 20 sites, and there was no significant effect for sorghum. In here, we have the results for wheat, and once again, there was no significant effect. This was as expected, and the total observations were 33 in 7 sites. Now, the hypothesis was partially supported. There was a trend that the zinc fertilization would increase yield, but it was only significant for corn. Wheat and sorghum did not increase yield. And as you may see, I didn't present the data for soybeans because there was very limited amount of data for it. So this is when our second component gets in, and we decided to make a field study about soybean, and it had the objective of evaluate soybean yield response to zinc fertilizer applications. And in here, we would verify soil, tissue, and green parameters as our diagnostic tools to help explain the responses. So there were 10 sites all over Kansas during 2013 and 2014. The experimental design was a randomized complete block design with 4 replications. The plot size was 3 meters by 8.2 meters. The treatments were, number one, the unfertilized control, number two, zinc at a rate of 11.2, and then a broadcast blend, which is zinc, manganese, and copper at a rate of 11.2 each, and boron at a rate of 2.8 kilograms per hectare. All fertilizers were sulfate-based except for boron. The application of fertilizer was made prior planting. The field measurements were soil sampling prior to the fertilizer application at a depth of 0 to 15 centimeters. The tissue sampling was done when the soybeans reached the R2, R3 stage, and we collected the 30 uppermost trifoliates. The harvest, we harvested only the 2 middle rows, and we collected the grain for nutrient analysis. So here are the results of my initial soil test. As we know, zinc availability starts to decrease when our pH is above 6.5, and in this case we had about 5 sites which were like that. And I want to highlight here that only 3 of our sites were below 1 milligram per kilogram, which is considered marginal. So we would at least expect that these sites would have a positive response on that, at least on yield. So now, as you can see, here's the results for yield, comparing the control, the zinc, and the mix. And in here, we found no significant difference at any site or across sites, not even in the sites where my zinc was supposed to be deficient. Here are the results for tissue. There was no visual deficiency, and most of my values were above the published critical levels, which are in between 15 or 20 milligrams per kilogram of zinc in tissue. And as you can see, we did find significant responses giving the broadcast mix giving the higher values. And across sites, it was the broadcast mix, the one which had the highest values. And here it's the results for the zinc grain, and in here I only present across the sites. And as you can see, there was significant effect of the broadcast mix and the zinc above the control, being the broadcast mix the one which gave a higher value. So my conclusion is that I have my 10 sites from 0.3 to 1.4 milligrams per kilogram. There was no significant effect on the yields, not even on the sites which were deficient in soil tests. And we did find significant increases in tissue and grain across sites, and the fertilizer mix was the one which showed the highest values. So in a major conclusion, this zinc fertilization might not have increased in quantity, but it did in quality, as we can see in the grain. So this study is an approach to agronomic biofortification that now it's not something like paid for our producers or something, but it can be something in the future, and we're looking for quality, and these results help us sustain it. And with this, I would like to acknowledge the Kansas Soybean Commission for the funding, Dr. Dorival Ruiz-Diaz, my major advisor, and the Kansas State University Soil Fertility Crew for their help in field. And thank you very much for your attention, and I'm ready for questions.
We do have a little bit of time for questions, so if anybody has questions for Miriam at this point, we'll start with her.
Why did you choose a 15-centimeter duct for a toilet?
Excuse me?
Why did you choose a 15-centimeter duct for a toilet?
So the question is, why did I use the soil sample at a depth of 0 to 15 centimeters? Am I right? So as we know, zinc is an immobile nutrient, and we just try to take it from the surface. Yes.
In your first experiment where you did your historical analysis, did you have any plans to go any further with that data set that you have? For example, like maybe pairing out the different pH levels, or is that not possible with the data set you obtained?
So the question is about the next step for this historical data review. The next step would be to try to do it per site. It has been kind of a trouble to try to get the soil chemical analysis because there's a lot of papers from the 60s, the 70s, which lack of this soil chemical analysis. But yes, I am actually running some regressions now, try to associate it with the soil properties, at least with the few ones we have.
Yeah.
Any more questions?
Yes.
When you did the introduction, you said 25% of the soils are deficient in zinc.
Of the 2,000 soil samples that were taken for that experiment.
And yet, when you went to the yield data, the historic yield data and your past experiment, you didn't really see any difference in zinc fertilization, did you, or I just missed it?
The corn had a significant increase. Yes, on wheat we were not expecting an increase because we know it's a less likely crop to respond to zinc. On sorghum we were waiting we were expecting to find some, but we didn't find it. There can be so many factors that would have affected, and I would have to run all the papers and try to find something that would be the cause of it.
So basically the 75% is just based on soil value, not necessarily related.
No, it's not related to this past. This research that I put it there about the 75% was made in 2010, and this data that I have goes since 1960. So it's just to have an idea how our zinc properties are now in Kansas. So thank you very much.
Give her one more hand.